ingrain wrong habits. We can actually ingrain bad habits. We can ingrain things that that can keep us from reaching our full potential or what it is that we're trying to do because we was practicing, but we was practicing wrong. Amen? So glad to see so many of you here on today. Glad to see Sister Taylor back with us. Amen? Are they keeping you up at night over there? Amen, amen. Sister Lee and the Jordans, we're just so grateful to the people God has given us here at the Safe House that He's given us to help lead and to serve. Amen. So, because leadership is about servitude, that we're in a place of what we call DEA, discipleship, empowerment, and accountability. In the sense that we're going to teach you and we're going to show you what we know and what God has given us, and we're going to work together. And then I'm going to empower you. Amen. Meaning that what? Now you get to practice this. This is not a thing where I just get up here and I talk and do everything. But this is a place of empowerment and that what? I expect you to mess up. Amen. That's part of it. So when you're working and you're going through things and you mess up sometimes, that's just, sometimes we call that par for the course. And that, you know, if you're not trying and you're not working, amen, then sometimes it's hard to get to that point. Amen. But then also there comes a point that when you start to work, then I can hold you accountable. Meaning that if you have missed some things and some things have happened, that we can hold you accountable and say, okay, this is where you missed the mark and this is how you can get better. It's not a thing of offense. You know, we're in a day now that everybody gets offended so easily. Amen. If I tell you, hey, you missed a spot and you're supposed to be cleaning this, you know, they get offended. I even find myself sometimes in that spot. Amen. Because it's so easy, because that's the spirit that's pervasive throughout our place and our world today. But we are to what? Combat that. We are to fight against that because the Spirit of God is not like that. The Spirit of God is not combative in the sense that the Spirit of God is what? He's peace. They said that in the Beatitudes that what it would be the Prince of Peace, that it would be that we would inherit the earth. Amen? That those are peace. So as I go in today, I'm glad to see you all, the parish come in. Amen. Hope all is well with you all. I didn't call you out to embarrass you. I'm just glad to see you. Amen. 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 So unless you've been ostrich with your head in the sand, I think it was about last week this time, you know, when I got home and, you know, social media is off the chain and I was looking and you see so many things that we call fake news. Amen. And, you know, there are things that people make up about people all the time and said, and there was one thing that came on about the basketball player Kobe Bryant losing his life, and I looked at it and I was like, oh, okay. And then I started to see it more and more coming up, and one of the things that I do, you know, as a researcher, I always have to confirm things before I say. One of the things about research, we typically say that you have what one, you do this thing what we call triangulation, right? And what triangulation really means is that I found three sources that spoke to the same thing before I might be willing to say it. I might not say it then, but I may be in a strong position to say it. And then oftentimes when we're getting our sources and when we get information, we have to be careful to pay attention to the source of the information. Amen. You know, whether I was getting something from Snoop's or was I getting it from Wikipedia, all of these places may give you information, but there are also places where a lot of misinformation can be given. Why? Because from my understanding, any individual can go in there and they can edit and change things. Amen. They can move things around. So just because you said something don't mean that it's true. Just because somebody's, you know, said a thing or put a thing out there doesn't mean that this is the drop dead authority. So as I was looking and I noticed that it came from TMZ, and I was like, uh-oh. When TMZ puts out things, you know, as rugged and raw and as inconsiderate as they can be, they typically are very, very, very good at their job. Amen. And when they put it out there, I had a tendency to believe it, you know, and it's kind of like that person, that friend you got, you know, you know, some people, we have some folk in our lives that when they tell us a thing or two, we can take it to the bank. You know, you have those other ones, they say they're going to do this, they say they're going to do that, and they kind of like, well, maybe, maybe not. But then the other of us, we do have some that if they tell us that they're going to do something, we believe without a doubt that they're going to do it. Why? Because they have a track record that says that they do what they say they're going to do. I don't know about you, but I like working with individuals like that, amen? Because most of us, when we make decisions, and at least when I make decisions, now I'm making my decisions based off some of the things that you have told me. So if you tell me that A is true and you tell me B is true, then what I'm doing is I'm taking the information from A, I'm taking the information from B, and I'm putting them together, and then I'm going to make my decision, and now my decision has been based upon the truth of A and B. Are y'all with me? Now, if A is wrong or if B is wrong, then now inherently my decision is wrong. Not because I set out to make a wrong decision, because I could have went through a good process in making the decision. I could have went through it and then all dotted all my I's and crossed all my T's. But since now that I have some false information along the way, now it changes my whole perspective. And now it makes my decision questionable. And now that my decision is questionable, most people and others around us make their decisions based on what we do. We call it influence. Amen. And then we look at an individual like him that had so much influence. I find it interesting, and I was telling somebody the other day, is that he's probably way more famous as a dead man than he ever was alive. Because after people die, we have a tendency to examine things a little closely. Now, as people now examine every part of his life and everything that he did and things he said, and now they're starting to see something. They're starting to see a consistent picture. And I was so reminded that, you know, this month is Black History Month, the famous day of 2-2-2020. If you don't know, y'all know I'm a numbers guy. That isn't, only happens about every 900 years. Amen. So for every 900 years, you'll get a date like 2-2-2020. So I just believe that something special is going to happen in this house today. And as people continue to examine these things that he said, and I was looking and I thought about somebody else that who, when they was alive, that their what they said was powerful, yet we did not celebrate or really understand what they were saying until they were gone. This one individual said one of his quotes, and it's like this: "No one really knows why they are alive until they know why they know what they died for." He also said this: I sacrifice power, our spirit. Oh, did I rewrite? I can't read my writing. I sacrifice power has a what the word is? Our spirit power. We have got it. Oh, I know. I'm sorry. Our scientific advancement power has outgained our spiritual power. We have guided missiles and misguided men. These were quotes from Martin Luther King, and I thought about one of them here. You know, he's talking about our scientific power, and we live in a place in a time now where we have a scientific powers, you know, we have technology and we have all these different things. And I find that we can guide missiles to hit a pothole 20 miles away and 30,000 miles away and all kinds of places. Yet with that, and all these things that we're doing, now we find ourselves in a place that we're misguiding each other. Amen. And as I was looking over this and I was reading over this and I was finding that, you know, as people examine more and more the things that Mr. Bryant had been saying, that really it came down to an individual who just wanted to be the best he could be. And if we read our Bibles and we find out that this is the case throughout life for us, God has called us to be the very best that we can be. No more, nothing less. And in doing that, you find something. And that something is what I want to talk to you about today. So turn with me to Philippians, the first chapter. We're going to be in verse 21 through 26. That's Philippians, the first chapter, verse 21. And we'll go through 20. Hopefully I get through 26. And it says this: "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is to gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I won't know. For I am in this strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nonetheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. If you bear with me for a moment, and I won't be before you long, I want to bring a couple of points out today. I want to talk to you from the subject of the beautiful gift of death. The beautiful gift of death. Now, when you look at it on its top, most people would think that death is a beautiful thing. Because we know death to be several definitions, that death is separation, that death is stoppage, that death is, given the definition of our body, that all forms of life has a tendency to cease. But the Bible and our faith looks at death very, very differently. We find that actually in death, one gains life. According to the Bible, that when one dies, one actually gains life. That maybe he loses life in this world, but he gains eternal life to a place that's far beyond this place, a place that's going to go beyond the time and space. It's going to go beyond chrono. It's going to go beyond, hurts in our body. It's going to go beyond things that we have to deal with. But it's a place that's an eternal rest, that place continues to go forward. That our Bible tells us about a place that if we live right, then we can find. That if we hold on to his unchanging hand, that we can be a part of. Now, Bible tells us about a place here that we find that Paul talks about. And where we hear is Paul is writing the church to the letter of Philippi. And Paul has gotten to the point in his life that he doesn't care if he dies. Now, I don't know about you, but you can get to a place in your life that you've gotten so settled in your spirit with where you're going and where you are and what you've been through that you might not even care if you live or die. You know, we often hear people in the streets that, those guys who say, well, I'm a thug and I don't care if I live or die because this is what I do for the streets. And you can take me out and I'm good and all this. And they live that, because they live that based off a false narrative. They live that based off of where they are. They live that based on things that they've been told and falsehoods that they've been exposed to. But I'm here to tell you today that you and I can get to a place in God that we wonder sometimes whether we live or do we die. You know, I ask myself all the time, if we believe the same way that we say we believe, if the die is we have all the stuff that we have to do on this earth, I would understand why one would want to go away. Because if I believe him and I believe that, that there's a better place for me, why would I even care? And this is where Paul finds himself. Because Paul has gone through all these different things. Paul's been shipwrecked. His life has been seeked out. So you get to a place in God that you really don't care if you live or you die. Why? Because you know who holds your tomorrow. And when you get to this place, brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you that is a gift. In the sense that why is it a gift? It's a gift because now I realize and I understand that I'm not here for me. Because if I would have had my way, I would have been gone. Because, Lord, I want to be with you. My desire is to be with you. That my heart desires to be with you. I do everything I do here. Why? So that I can be with you. If you notice here, what does Paul tell him in verse 21? Paul tells him what? To live for Christ. So our whole point is what? We are alive, live live. Why? Because of Christ. And we're carrying this for what? Christ is safe. Because if not, then Paul said what? I'd rather die. To die is to gain. So that if I die is to gain, that's a beautiful gift in the sense that what? We know it's been a gift because Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, that died for him was what? A gain on us. Because if he did not die for the remission of our sins, then we would not have the right to be able to die and go that path. That we would not be able to have the right to the tree of life. That we would not be able to see him again. And all these things, that beautiful gift. You know, the most precious gift that you can give, the Bible talks about what better gift than a friend lay down his life for a friend. I'm paraphrasing. That's what the Bible talks about, that a friend would physically give his life for another. What other gift can you give? Because when you get to that point in time in your walk in God, you understand some things. And as I was reading it and going through, you know what? It dawned on me. I understand now what Martin Luther King was talking about. When he was talking about, I'm going, you know, I might not get there with you, but I've seen the coming of the glory of the God. He got to a point where he knew that it didn't matter whether he lived or died. Matter of fact, he even so much as said so, amen? That it didn't matter if he lived or died. But when you get to that point and that state in God, whether it doesn't matter where you live or die, I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, you are now at the most powerful point of your life. See, they tell me that the reason terrorist bombers and those guys are so dangerous is that those guys have made up in their mind that they don't care whether they live or die. You know, whether they live or die. But see, we do everything what? Based on us what? Wanting to live and live in this life. The choices we make, the risks that we don't take, the decisions that we don't make are based on what? Us wanting to live here. When he's clearly told us time and time again that this place is not my home. That this place here, I'm just what? I'm just a passenger passing through. That this is just vacation right now. That this body is temporary. That's why everybody said heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall stand. And it's on this word that we live on. It's this word that we walk on. It's this word that we believe. So, point one I want to tell you today is when you at this point, the beautiful gift, the gift for death is fear is under control. The number one fear of everybody in this room is probably of dying. It ain't losing a home. It may not be going to jail or being incarcerated. It's what? Because we all are striving to fight to live. But what he tells us in his word is that what? When a man gives his life, it's when he actually lives. And all of this sounds like an oxymoron. All of this sounds like it fights against everything that we've been told to do. Because everything in our life tells us that we're striving to stay on this side. And what I'm starting to understand, brothers and sisters, and I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm starting to understand that what he was saying was simply that when you decide to give that up, that's when you actually live. When you decide that's not important, that's when you actually get to enjoy life. And you enjoy it more abundantly. You know, you spend all your time at work so you can get your house and you get your car and all this kind of thing. And then you don't even get to enjoy it because you spent so much time out trying to earn it to get it. Versus that, okay, I got what I got. And I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. And I'm going to take care of the things I need to take care of. And you know what, God, since I took care of what I need to take care of, you're going to. Because you will order my steps, that you know exactly what I got. You know where I am. I use some wisdom. I followed your commandments, Lord. And you said that what? You would take care of me. You said that you would follow me. That goodness and mercy would what? Follow me all the days of my life. So I asked you, do you believe that? Because see, when you're not scared to die, when you're not scared to die, then you do things that you've been pulling back on. See, and I don't want to go to my next point. My next point is this. See, death, the gift for death is also the unknown. Because if you knew exactly when you were going to die, your life would be 100% different. Almost guaranteed. Why? Because we have a flesh inside of us that we war against all the time. We have spirit man, right? Spirit man lives in this body to keep it under subjection. But we have a flesh in here that wars all the time. And if you knew exactly your date, what you would do is do everything you wanted to do up until your date. Mm-hmm. You would. Why? Because if we knew exactly when these things were going to occur, we would try to get all the pleasures out of this life. Am I making sense to anybody? But because you don't know that, you cannot what? Take the risk of being caught out of line. Therefore, this is what? A gift to you. All y'all with me this morning. It's a gift to you that what? I'm going to let you, because you don't know, that means you're going to live holy. Because I don't know. The Bible says like that. Nobody knows the day or the hour that the Son of Man shall return. But we do believe in no way that he is going to return. So therefore, since I don't know the day or the hour, what do I have to do? I have to keep myself in an always ready position. It can happen today. It can happen in the next 10 minutes. It can happen tomorrow. There's videos of people falling out in the pulpit, dying, wherever. So you always have to be in the ready position. Are y'all with me this morning? And that in itself is a power. Why? Because I'm always in the ready position. I hold myself accountable. I walk in discipleship. Not that I dot every I and cross every T, but that's what goodness and grace and mercy is for. So when I don't do that, amen? So he's giving me some leeway, but I'm not to abuse grace and mercy either. So the second gift of death is the fact that the unknown. Because see, when in this world, we live what we're believing, right? And when you die, you leave from believing to what? No. Think about it. At this point, any of us been dead and came back? No. All we can do is what? Believe the one who did, right? And he said, if you believe on me, then what? This is the way to the Father. So by us believing on him, this is the way to the Father. It leads us to that path of what? Righteousness. So I have to have belief in that. Then when I die, now I'm not only knowing that, I'm not no longer believing, I'm what? I'm in the no. Because what? The Bible talking about this body is going to be what? Transformed. And by this body being transformed, it's in a position to now what? Understand those things that I cannot understand in this body. Oh, come on, somebody. Do y'all not know that there's some things in this body that you and I just would not ever understand? And that's some things that we just have to take what we call by faith. Why? Because my body is limited. See, that was one of the things y'all heard Kobe talk about was the own limitations of his body and how he tried to push his body past its limitations. Let me tell you something. 100% of anything is, well, still what? 100%. Somebody said, well, I gave 110%. Well, that's mathematically impossible. Because if you gave 110%, that means you gave all of that plus another what? Another 10% of that 100. Amen? That's what that means. So if you're giving all of yourself, 100 is all you can give. That's maximum effort. It sounds good to say, hey, I gave 110%, but you really didn't. All you did was give 100, because that's all you can give. So us being on this side is what? There's some limits in our body. There's no such thing as limitless. I can't just keep putting all the food in the world in my mouth. There's a limit. I cannot drink all the water in the world. There's a limit. And you have limits in your bodies too. The difference is this, is that there's certain areas in your bodies that you don't have the same limitations as somebody else. Oh, come on, somebody. And we call those your gifts. Let me prove it to you. My wife is human. I'm human. Right? Hold on. I'm going to pick Brother Joy. He's a male and I'm a male. We're both humans. There's some... Everything that he has atomically, his anatomy, I share my anatomy. Okay? But there's some limitations that he has that I don't have, and vice versa. Why is that? Those are what we call our gifts. So really what your gift is really what? It's the areas in your life where your limit is higher than others. I'll write that down. I want to get that myself. Look, your gift is really what? Just where the limit is in other people's lives, your limit is higher. So think about it in terms of, you know, y'all ever seen like a little equalizer, right? You know, you have those little buttons that slide. Right, you can all set them at one level, and they all be at different levels according to the different sounds you want. Think about it as yourself, and you got certain levels on each one. And you look at somebody else's equalizer, and theirs don't what? They don't look exactly like yours, but they also don't produce the same sound. So an equalizer, if I got like five little bars, and I'm measuring the treble, and I'm measuring the bass, and I'm doing something with some highs and all this kind of stuff, then somebody else have the same as that equalizer? Same as that equalizer, right? But their limits are what? Set differently. And the same sound from the source can be the same, but they'll come out the speaker different. Oh, come on, somebody, y'all. I gotta get this thing. Lord, do you understand what I'm saying to you? So the thing is, we all get our stuff from the same God, but it's how he set you up. It's how it's gonna come out of you. That sounds pleasant to you. It sounds like I don't like that to me. But that sounds pleasant to you, but I don't like that part. And that's why it's important that we all play our part, because he has us all set up a little differently. So when do we learn unlimitedness? Well, we learn unlimitedness, what? Through death. Because when you actually die, then what? All the limits are taken off. You don't have the sliders no more on your equalizer. You just won. Because the whole point of this is what? For us to be here, to be vessels here in the earth. That's why his equalizer got to be set up different, because it's going to be people that is going to only hear him. And mine is set up because only going to be people that are going to hear me. And then it's only going to be people that hear her and then hear her and hear him. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? And what does Paul say? Paul says in verse 24, he said, nevertheless, to abide in this flesh is more needful for who? You. Paul said, I'm ready to die. But God is telling me I can't come up there with him. Why? Because y'all need me. You understand what I'm saying today to you? The reason you can't go right now is because there's somebody who needs you that's only going to hear you through your frequency, through your setup. So it's the way that God has you set up that what it's only people, only, you know, I mean, that's how many genres of music? There's hundreds of genres of music. There's something out there for everybody. Well, here at the church, there's somebody here for everybody. The reason you can't leave is because what? God has uniquely placed you here, and there's somebody here, at least one somebody, that wants to hear you. And, you know, and I kept wondering, I was asking myself, you know, even in ministry, I said, Lord, well, you know, like they come and they this and they that. And he had to remind me that I got you set at a frequency that's uniquely you. And those who are attracted to that frequency will come. And those who don't, won't. And it's not your job to worry if they do or not, because what? They belong to me, and you only there on temporary assignment anyway. And when you've reached the ones I want you to reach, what I'm going to do? I'm going to call you back unto myself. This is what he's telling Paul. So Paul is telling them, look, Paul said, y'all, I'm ready, but to be honest, y'all jokers the one keeping me here. That's what he's basically saying. He said, it's y'all that's keeping me here. So what is that? So give or death brings what? Unlimitedness. You take off the limits. I don't care what nobody said. They said, well, I'm going to limit. Yeah, you are limited. There are some things in this body you just limited. Now, do your limit levels set different than somebody else? Absolutely. We just talked about that. But you are limited. What else does death bring to us? As we find here what Paul was talking about them, he says this in verse 25. He said, and having this confidence in Jesus, right? I know that I shall abide and continue with you all further in joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by coming to you again. What is Paul working on here? Paul is saying that, well, death brings all of us accountability or morality. We all know we're not going to live for forever. We all know that we are bonded between this thing called time. And if you read throughout the Bible, time is critical. The Bible talks about we have the seven dispensations. Mm-hmm. The Bible talks about it was a time to this. And Ecclesiastes, you get your time to born. There's a time to die. There's a time to plant. There's a time to pluck up that which has been planted. There's a time to love. There's a time to cry. And I believe with Solomon, he just goes on and on and on about all these different times. Time is critical in the Bible. We talk about, you know, the children of Israel, that they were there 400 some odd years. I think like 440. And then we talk about, you know, the time between the end of the from Old Testament and the New Testament. And he's not talking. We talk about the time of the 42 generations. We talk about the time of, you know, Daniel. And we made famous this now Daniel fast of this 21-day commitment that when the angel had hung up Daniel's prayer, and he was fighting with the prince of Persia and all these kind of things. So timing is essential. And you're here today because of the time. You're here today because this is the time and place that he wanted you, and there's somebody who needs to hear God through you. And it's that death unto yourself that's going to give you the most beautiful gift that you're going to receive. What you're going to find is that you don't chase money no more. That money chases you. But you don't even really even care about that. Why? Because you care more about being effective. You care more about how can I change this person's life? How can I influence this person in such a way that they can get a better life, that they can know this which I have tasted? Then I think about it like this way. Y'all know we all like eating here. Some of us probably a little bit more than others. And if you get something really good, what's the first thing you typically try to do? If I go down and I get a piece of cake downtown here in Greensboro that's really good, the first thing I do, I probably pick up my phone and hope, assuming my wife is with me, I pick up my phone and I say, Alex, bruh, I know you're a sweet connoisseur, but I got some cake over here. Something to make you smack your grandma. And I say it with such passion and such rigor, and you know, and then I hang that phone up and I call my sister. Phoebe, have you been to this place over here that sells this kind of cake? And it's this and it's that. And what I find myself is, at some point, I would have gone through my whole Rolodex after I got through all my fat friends. Amen. We're fatty spirit, right? Fatty spirit. But after I got through all my people, I would have got to the list that even now to the end. And you know what? I've not been paid an endorsement. I've not gotten one dime to push it. But because it was so good and it did so much for me, as my sister used to say, it did it for my spirit, I want everybody else to do what? Feel what I'm feeling. I want everybody else to experience what I'm experiencing, right? So you don't have to pay me to do that. I do that freely. And what we find is that you can get to a place in God when you die to self, self-will. We all want to be successful. God knows that. He said, but what? He said, follow my steps. He said, put ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. He keep telling us all the time of what exactly what we need to do. But what we have this impression of this world around us that tells us, well, do it this way because I became successful that way. And my Bible reminds me then, he says, what would it profit a man to gain the whole world but to what? Lose his soul. So you can gain it his way or you can gain it their way. Because at the end of the day, you know what the other gift of death is? That is the great equalizer. It doesn't care if you're rich. It doesn't care if you're poor. It don't care if you're tall. It don't care if you're slim. It don't care if you're hard on the eyes. It don't care if you drop dead gorgeous. It don't care if you like ice cream or you don't like ice cream. It's the great equalizer, and we all have to go that way. So my question to you would be, are you the living dead? In the sense that I've died to what I want, but I understand it's not about what I want, but it's about what he wants through me. And since I live for him, Paul tells us what? That it's living through Christ, and I'm living through Christ. Why? Because I'm here to help you. And you notice that he tells them, I'm here to what? Further it for you. Because if I had my way, I'm gone. Why would I want to be here? Think about that. But I'm here to what? Help somebody else. It's like when I eat that cake, I'm here to tell somebody else about that cake. I'm here to tell somebody else how wonderful it is. And the whole point is, if they get it and they agree, what do they do? The same thing that I've done. So my question is, if the cake is good to you, why you ain't telling nobody else? Is it that good to you? Or are we tasting the wrong cake? Or we may have cakes that we've made and things that we've made and things that we process and ways we want things to go. We have to be careful. I have to be careful. We all have to be careful that this thing is not an I thing, but a we thing. That we spend our time what building leaders, that we spend our time embracing this community, that we spend our time loving on other people. Because he says that way, if you do these things, it's like you did them unto me. That we ain't careful, that we just get stuck behind these walls and we come here on Sundays and we have a good time, we see each other, we go out to eat and we do nothing else. That's not what I'm here for. That's not what you're here for. It's about more than this. And this place being the safe house is what a sanctuary for people to come who are broken, people to come who are hurt, but also to what? To be rebuilt in discipleship, empowerment, and accountability. So what is the gift of death? The gift of death is truly a new life. It's a truly a new life. A life, and what? A life that's more abundantly. Hallelujah, Jesus. I thank you. Are y'all with me today? Amen. I hope that you got something out of that on this day. As we look around now, what is the gift? The gift is really the gift of death is really new life, if you believe. Because you move from belief to now I know. See, it's something different when you, it's one thing to me to believe it, but it's another thing to say, you know, I know that I know that I know that I know that I know. When you've experienced it for yourself, how many people are going to be able to tell you anything different? Because if you never experienced your theory versus my experience, it's always going to trump that. It's always going to trump that. So, brothers and sisters, at this time, as we close out, I felt led that we would do communion on today. So as we're going around, communion is serious business, amen. And communion here is us remembering the death of Christ, that he died for us. And then in his dying for us, that he gave us, what, a new lease on life. That we got a new lease on life, that we've gotten more, and now we're learning more, and we're going better, and we'll be able to, what, help somebody else. That my whole life is really about what? Being a help to somebody else. I'm a teacher. I'm an instructor. My whole life is by what? Helping somebody else. And that's what yours